Brian, okay. We can see everything. Our video guys did a good job, so we got tape. Things that we can work on and make adjustments on. So.
The players are out there playing and getting sweaty a little bit. Like, just can you characterize, like, how cold were you on the sideline? Like,
I don't think it was cold. It wasn't that cold. You know, I've been in a lot colder games. I think I don't know if it's a weather. I don't know the science behind it, but I think when it snows out, it's not as cold as when it's. You know, most of the games I've been cold in, hasn't been any elements, but the temperatures have been in the single digits. So it was probably in the 30s. So it wasn't I don't think the how cold it wasn't a factor. It was just, you know, how bad the conditions were, especially from a footing standpoint.
Was it miserable for you guys as coaches?
Like, no, we're miserable at all. It was just, you got to deal with it. You know, and the one thing is it's the same for both teams. So it was just, you know, who could try not to shoot themselves in the foot as much. And I think we did a good job. Besides the one pass by Nick, we did a really good job in ball security. I think that was one of the differences in the game is that they put the ball on the ground. I think we recovered three, but I think it was on the ground seven times. You know, we didn't make those unforced errors ourselves. And I think sometimes, you know, a bad snap or things like that, you know, we were a lot more underneath the center than we normally are. But, you know, we just felt like that was a situation. The one snap, shotgun snap early in the second quarter that came flying back, probably a little hot. Nick didn't handle it real well. That was the biggest concern for us.
In practice, how much time do you spend on things that might not be in the game plan, such as being under center as much as you were?
We're under center every day, and we're under center in every game, so I don't have a percentage, but, I mean, that wasn't a big deal for us. That wasn't like, oh, my God, we got to take a center quarterback exchange. We do it all the time. We run a lot of plays from under, so.
And were the plays that you ran, were they dramatically different from what the play calls would have been in ideal temperatures?
No, the only really adjustment we made is we put in a little pop pass with Brent at the end on the – and we had talked about doing that, and that was just a deal with Brent and and Nick. But all the other adjustments were just some formation things to get us some surfaces to run at and to get some better double teams, but there wasn't anything out of the ordinary.
You talked about before how big your playbook is. If you would have had just to do under center the whole game, would you have felt comfortable, like enough variety in there to go that in that direction?
Okay. We can run our entire offense from there. So
you guys are
Is there been too big a deal being made out of the idea of north-south running as opposed to, you know, going outside every day, or is that something that, you know, north? Because it seems like when you do it, the north-south, but is that weather related or?
No, I mean, but you need to attack defenses, you know, kind of across the front. You just can't always run the ball inside, and I think that's, you know, we've got a back that can get outside, and that's one of his strengths is. We also have some athletic linemen. When you watch, you know, our statistics on our sweep play, when getting Jason Kelce and Jason Peters out in space and running on DBs is a good plan. But I think, for the most part, going lateral in that game wasn't really the game plan you needed to run. We tried a couple things early laterally, and you just weren't going anywhere. So, you know, it was more of just going to play a downhill game and, you know, try to. I mean, I didn't think we were going to score 34 points, but I thought that we could at least establish some things. Very difficult for, I think, the D linemen to get their feet in the ground a little bit, and so we could create some movement up there, and I thought our guys did a good job, especially in the double teams.
Chip, you look at the numbers over the league over the last several years, the rule changes, teams are throwing the ball more, given the rule changes, pass interference, things like that, it's on paper easier to throw the ball more. You guys kind of fly in the face of that in a way. I mean, you run the ball an awful lot, and you get huge chunk plays out of it. When you came into the league, did you think, you know, I know I'm bucking a trend here. Did you say, I'm going to do what I do? How do you kind of contrast what you guys are able to do versus the trend?
I think we're balanced, to be honest with you. And I think one of the things that opened up our running game yesterday and has opened up our running game this season is our ability to throw the ball over the top, because I think the easy answer is, if you're running the ball really well, we got to get another safety down in the box. And if you do get a safety down in the box, then you're leaving Deshaun and Riley one-on-one outside. And people will continue to do that if Deshaun and Riley don't hurt you. But, you know, those guys have been a huge component of what we're doing. And if you're any receiver, you want one-on-one coverage. So if you're a receiver, you want to be able to run the ball really well where they can't help. You know, and I think that's kind of the ongoing chess match that goes on with it.
Even that, be that as it may, other teams aren't getting chunk plays in the run game, it seems, to the extent that you guys are. Is there something inherent, intrinsic in your offense, in your rushing offense, that allows that?
Yeah.
Is it just you're that smart?
71, 65, 62, 79, 69, 87. You know, I mean, we got some guys that can block, and we got a very, very talented running back. So, you know, there's a lot of things you have philosophically. We'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. You still have to have the players executed. And I've said this all along. This whole deal is a personnel-driven thing, and we've got some really talented guys on the offensive line. We have a really talented tight end when it comes to blocking. Our receivers had an outstanding game. You know, one of the unsung heroes of yesterday, I don't even think he had a pass on him, was Jason Avant. You know, you watch the block he threw on LaShawn's play where he took the safety back into the free safety. You know, and that's the type of team we are. Jason's on the sideline asking me, can run the ball my way. I don't know how many wide receivers in this league are asking to have the ball run their way, but you know, I think that's kind of a testament to the type of team we have right now.
You guys are number one by far in big 40-yard plays on offense, but you're also, I think, top five, fourth or fifth in fewest big plays allowed, and those are the momentum plays. How big do you think those two kind of trends are as far as really being able to take command of games?
I think it's big. You know, I think one of the things we talked about all year long defensively especially was not getting the ball thrown over our head, and I think our guys have done a good job of that. You know, and I think at times you're going to give up some slant balls and some things inside, and I think people earlier, why are you letting people throw the ball in front of you? Well, I'd rather have it thrown in front of me and rally up and make the tackle than have the ball thrown over the top and give up easy plays. And I think over time, we felt like we had a group of guys on the offensive side of the ball that can put some points on the board. So if we make offenses go out and earn it, you know, not just one-play deals going down the field, then we got a shot at winning. And that's kind of, you know, the whole kind of concept we have. Let's create turnovers over defense. Let's do a great job in ball security and offense. We have the ability to be explosive on offense, but let's not allow the other team to get back into it with an easy play. So
as it was to run up fun in that game, you guys got 300 yards. They didn't run anywhere near as effectively. Based on your film review and evaluations, how did the defensive linemen do, Cox?
I thought, you know, when you go through it, there wasn't a stand-up, but I think really what our defensive line did really was kind of the key of the game. And Futcher was outstanding, Sed was outstanding, Benny was outstanding, is that those guys did a great job with just base techniques and not getting pushed off the football and had their cleats in the ground, did everything that Coach Az teaches and, you know, allowed Michael Kendricks to run around. You know, I thought we set the edges really well. I thought Connor and Trent and Brandon did a really good job of setting the edges and kind of containing the back so that there weren't explosive plays in the run game from that standpoint. So.
Have you ever had a defensive player come up to you and suggest, you know, offensive strategy before? And what does that say about, you know, Kerry Williams, that he was able to do that? And
I've had a lot of players come up and suggest a lot of things to me. It's just you got to be smart enough to know who to listen to, you know. I mean, trust me, I don't think I've ever had a receiver that's ever been covered, you know. And it's an amazing phenomenon. I'm wide open. I know you're wide open because the ball went over there and the entire defense ran over there. That's why you're standing by yourself. Now, if you were running and blocking like you were supposed to be, you wouldn't be wide open because it was a run play. So you should be. So, but it just depends on who you would listen to, you know. And I think Kerry's one of the guys on this team that he's all football. And he's a student of the game. And you just watch how detail-oriented he is in practice. He doesn't talk very much, but when he talks – you should listen to him. He's got a great football mind. He understands the game. And he made a really valid point about it didn't matter what you were doing. I think kind of thinking maybe you should just be dumping the ball down and playing it is that you can run by these guys because they can't transition. He said he couldn't transition. You know, they had one big play to Calvin. It was your feet kind of get stuck in the ground. So if the one guy has a running start and you don't have a running start, it's a, you know, and it's an advantage to you. So I think – I mean, I've had a lot of guys make suggestions, but I think what I have to do is who should I listen to? And I'll listen to Kerry because Kerry really understands the game.
How much did you know about McCoy before you took the job? And do you have any recollection of putting on the tape for the first time?
No, I mean, I knew he was a really good player in this league, but, when you're a college football coach, you don't watch any NFL because Sundays is the day after your game and you're breaking down your film and you're not watching anything, so I never really watched the full game of anybody, no matter who it was. So, when you watch a film, you knew he's an explosive runner. He's talented. He can do a lot of things on his own. You know, he can make a lot of people miss. You know, he's probably as good as there is in the league at making people miss in the open field. And, was excited when I got here to get a chance to work with him.
You were talking about the defense, but it did seem like that they made adjustments during the game. I mean, early on, the Lions were moving down the field, they were just turning the ball over. And then that suddenly stopped in the second half. Did you guys do anything different?
No, I think we both sides of the ball kind of stuck to our game plan. You know, I think it's a game that goes back and forth a little bit. And You know, they were moving, but they were. It wasn't like they were getting huge chunks of yards or huge plays. You know, it was just a matter of sometimes it's just kind of tightening up your technique so you can execute a little bit better.
Chris Polk earned more maybe of Bryce's carries? On paper, he seems to be more productive.
Yeah, we don't talk about earning anybody's carries. The one thing I know about Chris is in the last couple of weeks specifically, he has really, really practiced very well. You know, and I think, like we said, at every position, it's an open competition, and you keep showing us and that you deserve time on the field, and that's what it's all about. You know, our guys, when you watch us go out there now, we're not going through the motion. We're practicing full speed, and it's game on. And if you know you keep seeing Chris make plays in practice, he warranted the time that he got yesterday. So
on that last play to Selleck, was that an option for Nick, or was that a called pass? Could he have handed the ball off?
Yeah, it was just a read play. You know, if he had Brandy, would take him. If not, he could hand it off.
Do you believe in character wins, or are they all just the same?
Do I believe in what?
Character wins. You know, some people like to write.
No,
that,
I believe
that some. Narrative.
I mean, yeah, I believe that you can write any narrative you want. I mean, I think there are certain.
Do you personally believe in character?
Well, there's always different types of. I think every win's different in any way. I mean, there's always lessons you can learn from it. I think you know, shame on you if you don't look back and analyze what happened and what are the positives and what can you take with it. But I also think you also have to take what did we do wrong and how can we continue to execute, because. You know, I think that's what happens sometimes when you have a big win, or some people, well, we made a couple mistakes, but don't worry about it. You know, we won a game. That's not the way that we've never been that way. Winston Churchill said, problems in victory are more agreeable than problems in defeat, but no less difficult. And we always adhere to that as coaches, because I think the easiest thing to do is we won, let's move on, let's get ready for the Vikings. Well, there's a lot of things that went on yesterday that we need to continue to correct, and that's the first thing we do. In a Tuesday session with our guys, let's corrections from Sunday. Whether you won 49 to whatever when we won against the Raiders, there was still things we left on there. You know, there were plays that LeSean made. LeSean made one big run. He could have had a 70-yard run. He cut back to and got tackled by Sue and a defensive lineman. If he had broken to his left, he may have had another one. So, you know, those are things we'll always continue to work on.
In terms of roster construction, scheme construction, how much attention do you pay to what the games might be like late in the season or in the playoffs, you know, in terms of the weather?
I think I don't think it's different, I guess, is my point. I don't think, you know, wins early in the season are just as important as wins late in the season. I think that's you know, you don't look at a guy and say, hey, he's a good cold weather guy, so let's go get him. Because I think there's not enough data either. You know, I loved what Peyton said after the game. People talked about he can't play in a cold weather environment. Well, he didn't have to because he was in the dome, but I'd take him in a cold weather environment. He's a pretty good football player. So.
No, but some teams are built for domes. Some teams are built for, you know,
I think that's writers speak, to be honest with you. Okay. I don't think teams are built, and I don't think anybody builds their team that way. Let's build our team for the dome. I mean, what's our offensive philosophy and what do we want to do? What's our defensive philosophy and what do we want to do? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking you, what's a defensive dome player like?
Probably fast. I mean, they have to contend with the speed of playing on a turf field.
Yeah, but everybody plays eight games at home and eight games away. So if you only build your team for your home games, then shame on you.
That's
you know?
The majority of your games. That's the impetus.
It's not the majority, I think. 8-8, that's 50-50, right?
No, but if – yeah, sure.
Well, dome teams, I mean, historically don't do well outdoors, especially late in the season. There's something.
Yeah. I'd look – we don't get that technical. Can they run and catch and tackle? We're going to recruit them, or we're going to draft them, or whatever we're going to do.
A lot about your sports science conditioning program. This kind of seems like maybe, again, while their line might have been wearing down, your offensive line was kind of moving them back. I mean, do you see any correlation there?
No, I just see – I think our players have taken care of themselves and really understand what we're trying to get accomplished, and I think it shows. But I don't think it's – because it's December, I think it showed – earlier in the year, too. I think, you know, I think when you look at where we are from an injury standpoint, obviously we've been pretty blessed from that standpoint. But I think it's – I mean, I watch our players each week, and I believe we're fresh when we go play games on Sunday. So.
Is there a psychological aspect at all to the sports science emphasis where, you know, you're letting guys know that these things are important and you're doing them so you're going to be fresher?
I don't let them know. You guys write it all. We don't – when we meet, we talk about our opponent. This is what the Vikings do. I mean, I don't stand up there and – talk about what, you know, your heart rate is. I mean, we're coaching football, so.
Thank you.
To the character question, what did you learn about your team from yesterday?
I didn't learn anything. I knew exactly what those guys were going to be like. So I think maybe some other people did, but I didn't have any question in my mind that what was going to go on in that football game, because I've been around these guys every single day.
Three of your older players are offensive linemen, Todd, Jason, and Evan, obviously, are all in their 30s. Not a lot of guys in that age. Have you kind of kept a special eye on them? And I mean, they all seem to be holding up really well. And
I mean, we keep an eye on everybody, so it's a detailed. Our strength and conditioning staff does a great job, and we don't look at older versus younger. It's we treat every individual as an individual. So, you know, age is just a category, but it's not like, hey, let's pay more attention to him than we pay to somebody who's 25, because somebody who's 25 could have more problems than them. I think, you know, one of the things about those three guys is they take care of themselves, and they did before I got here too. You know, so it's not like it was a revolution for those guys. I think Todd's always been a really fit guy. Evan's always been a really fit guy. So,
talk about the grounds crew yesterday. How important was the equipment staff yesterday?
I guess they were. I mean, I didn't see them very much. You know, I think our guys knew going in. I think Evan was the only guy, I think, that kind of changed his cleats. But everybody else knew once you get out there to pregame warm-up what you had kind of had to go with. So I think we were equipped. And I think the great thing about yesterday is how much fun our guys had. And you could tell in pregame warm-ups they were excited to play in that.
On the two return touchdowns, were they weather-related or were they systematic?
I think a little bit weather-related. I think we out-kicked our coverage. You know, one of the things we're really good at is covering kicks, but because we got some speed on our kick teams that can get down the field, and, you know, Ross had a 20- or 30-yard run and start, you know, and usually we're on top of guys, returners, you know, a lot quicker than that. And I think we just kind of got stuck. You know, the one punt return, I mean, Dottie banged it, you know. So the byproduct is now he's got to run and start, and it's tough to change direction. Colt had a shot at him, but, you know, kind of slipped and fell and got flushed, and obviously we weren't in our lanes the way. So there's some schematic things we need to continue to work on, but a little bit of it was weather related.
How much do things change with your game plan with the uncertainty for next week about Peterson? I mean, do you have to plan that he's going to be there? Do you plan that he's not?
Now, I think the one thing is you look at who their backup is, and Toby Gerhardt in the last couple of games has played extremely well. And I know him full well. You know, he played against us when I was at Oregon, and he had a 39-carry game for, I think, 2,085 yards, it seemed like to me. So, I think they've done a good job. You know, from their personnel standpoint, is they have another running back that is a workhorse type guy, so that they don't have to drastically change. You know, do you go from a big back to a little back? And I think some things would change. I think they can run the same things with Toby that they ran with Adrian. I think Toby's one of the really, really good backs in this league. He just isn't on the field that much because, of who Adrian Peterson is. So I don't think it changes that much, to be honest with you.
Chip, since almost from the day you were hired, there seems to have been this narrative about what you want to do on offense and how you want to do, particularly the idea of the read option and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's been going on, you're not doing what everyone says you want to do, and you're having success. Has it been kind of underlooked, the idea that you adapt the players and ability of the players that you have?
The interesting thing is I didn't write the narrative. So the only thing we want to do is score points, and we're an equal opportunity scorer. So we got to throw it to get it in. We'll throw it to get it in. We got to run it to get it in. We'll run it to get it in. I don't think a touchdown looks different no matter how you get them. You know, whether it's Nick Foles on a half-yard quarterback sneak or it's Nick throwing a bomb to Deshaun. You know, I've never been that way, and thank goodness we didn't follow that narrative, because that's not what we're all about. What do we got to do to win this week? And that's always our focus every single week as an offensive staff, and try to put a plan together that our players can execute, and then they go out and execute it. So.
I know you'll meet with Chris Peduzzi later, but is there any indication if they were –
there was no one yesterday. I met briefly after the game, and they just gave me an update of who's going to be a real concern, and there was no one yesterday after the game at all. Now, Earl's supposed to practice this week, but they'll go through. I meet with him later on, and I think Earl and Najee will be the only guys that will even be listed on the report. So, and I think Earl's supposed to try to get out there and practice tomorrow, so we'll see where he is.
When the conditions weren't good in the first half.
Particularly
in the first half, where the passing game was really difficult to navigate. Mm-hmm. Were you flirting with the idea at all putting Mike in a quarterback to kind of go with the ground attack a little bit more?
No, because our ground attack works with Nick in there.